Well, hello, Rich. This is Saturday morning. We're at Ronald's. He's fixing to make you a tape. We're wondering how you're doing this morning. And I'm going to stop now and play this back and see how it does.
Morning, Richard. This is Ronald. It's about, you said something on your last tape. We were listening to it last night about time and everything. It's now 9:20 here, Cleveland. It's October the 25th. It's about 60 days to Christmas. Heard you saying something there about weather and all. We've been having some pretty stormy weather back here, in fact. Been a little rain and a lot of wind. Got some hurricanes coming in down on the coast. I bought some land not too long ago down on the border. And I'm on a, like I said, it's down there on the border. It's 65 miles south of Alpine. It's 160 acres. I got down there for about $30 an acre, $4,800, 20-year loan. It's some of the old government grazing land. Your mother said that you and Jan went down to the Davis Mountains, which are about 125 miles north of where my place is, and it's quite intriguing down there. You drive out of Fort Stockton right into the late 1800s, you might say. People still carrying their six guns. They still carry their Winchesters in their saddle boots on their horses, and it didn't take me too long to figure out why. I was out of the car about 15 minutes, we thought, had my Winchester with me, you know, that 44 Magnum, and Dad was carrying a shotgun, and we were trying to find my corner stakes, as the land isn't fenced, of course. It's 5 miles to the highway, just right back straight out across canyons in the country, and I took about 40 pictures of it while I was there, but we were there about 15 minutes, I guess, and we run right smack dab into one of the largest mountain lions you ever saw in your life. But we didn't kill her. She had a young cub, and we didn't believe that she was a cattle killer, so we let her go. I took about 3 shots at her just to scare her off, stop any future trouble there. You know how them things are. You get them in a corner, they can kind of unwind on you just in a big hurry. Business really picks up. But we talked to quite a few people down there, and they are very friendly. Although they do carry guns, they don't have as many robberies and killings and accidental shootings down in that country as we have here. excuse me. We had little trouble here not too long ago. Wade's Minute Mart over on North England was robbed, and they never have caught that guy, but of course the local boys are working on it. You know how they do. They just may as well not have anybody. They have a real bad habit now. Everybody around here is we've been having a few demonstrations. We had some long hairs in town the other day doing some picketing, and they were some people thinking about the old shaving haircut freelance style there for a while, but we kind of got over it. Just had to look over them. You know how little kids are. That's just about what they are. They're not grown-ups. They're not young people. They're just babies. That is in my eyes, anyway. They haven't learned to grow up yet. But back to that land, you said something before you left last time I talked to you there that you wanted to do a little deer hunting when you got back. Well, Rich, I sure wished you was here. Be here Thanksgiving. Deer are so plentiful down there that you can stumble over them and not really realize how many you're seeing. We were there about a little over 24 hours, I guess about 30 hours, and in 18 of that 30 hours I saw in excess of 300 deer. About 150 were bucks. These are mule deer, incidentally, blacktails. I saw this 150 bucks, and I didn't see a buck that weighed less than 200 pounds. Now, then they weren't all large bucks. They were some that were just 4 and 6 point bucks, some spike. But I saw quite a few doe and a lot of young deer, which speaks for itself. The land is in Brewster County there, just south of Alpine. There's 65 miles. In fact, it's 65 miles to the doctor, you might say. In a funny way, it's pretty good ways out of town. That is, for us. Now, down in that country, they think nothing of driving it. You may know where Big Bend National Park is. It's not but 40 miles further south there on State 118. My land's 5 miles west of 118. You get on 67 here at Cleburne, just run 67 all the way to Alpine, 500 miles. At Alpine, you pick up 118 going south toward Big Bend National Park. 65 miles south, you go looking for a geat, which are very few and far between. There are about 20 miles difference, I guess, between each ranch there. And this is back out, as I said, back out in some of the government grass. You don't have a lot of people around. I believe my nearest neighbor is about 2 miles away, and they live in a trailer house. I understand they're going to eventually build them a rock house. But that's my nearest neighbor. The rancher we got in touch with down there, he told us that, well, he lives 17 miles from the road, Rich. His ranch down the road is 20 miles long from his north to his south line. His house and barns and everything, his main buildings, set 17 miles from the highway, and they're right in the middle of his place, so you can imagine just how large it is, about 20 miles by 34 miles there. It's a pretty good-sized place. He boasted, when we were talking to him, that he had 426 deer hunters last year on a long season. They, everyone took home at least one deer. And I wrote down to the Parks and Wildlife Commission down at Austin not too long ago, and they said that there was over 5,200 deer. 5,200 was the count that they could give me. That was their count, killed there last year. They have a short season this year, only 2 weeks, November the 29th, Saturday, November the 29th, at daylight to dark, Sunday, December the 14th. We got hit there down there with that. I didn't like it much, but I guess that's the way things goes. It's all in the best interest of game. We saw some antelope down there, and they have a lot of javelina hogs. Of course, I don't have to tell you what they are. You've had a pretty good run-in with them over in East Texas, in the Piney Woods. They're quite vicious little animals sometimes, as hogs go. Especially these. We got down in there, we found a cave. They have bear down there, black bear. If you're interested in bear, I think maybe we might could arrange to get some of them. They have elk, but you have to hunt them on state permit only. And which you have to apply for the state to get. And antelope's the same way with the state permit. They have another cat. I'm pretty sure you've heard of him. The people down in that country call him El Tigre, the tiger. What he is, he's a jaguar. And he's about 10 times worse than any house cat you ever seen. I haven't seen one out in the open down there yet. I've only been down once. But they tell me that he's quite terrible. He's kind of like the old grizzly. You know, he was a pretty bad animal himself, and in fact, he still is in a corner or in a tight spot. But I read in the Fort Worth paper about a month and a half ago, I guess about 6 weeks ago to be exact, there was a young boy at Presidio who was killed by one of these jaguars, or El Tigre, as they prefer to call him down there. He was out rabbit hunting with a 12-gauge shotgun, and the cat got him from behind. They said the boy never knew what hit him. He was killed instantly. The cat didn't eat him. He just killed for the sport of killing. Kind of like Charlie over there is. No reason. He just does it for the hell of it. they have wolves, coyotes down there. We saw quite a few tracks, didn't see any of the actual animals. And incidentally, Rich, I run into a herd of wild Mustangs while I was down there. That was kind of interesting to me that I'd seen tame Mustangs before, you know, saddle horses. They were actual Mustangs that people had captured and trained to ride. But these horses were very wild. I have a picture of them at about 50 yards with an Instamatic Kodak 44, which they just show up as little black and white spots, painted spots. There were a lot of paint horses in this group. And we really took a good look at them, and I kind of got the Mustang fever. But I was shaking so bad by the time I was taking the pictures of the Mustangs from seeing so many deer that I really didn't know what I was doing. Dad was in the same shape. I bought the land, you know, sight unseen. I mean, you figured that out by now listening from the tape since I've only been down once. But I got my water and my mineral rights, and I've got one of the best flowing springs on it you ever seen in your life. It's artesian water flowing right out of solid rock. It's just as sweet as it can be. It's the more you drink, the more you want. The hole's about 100 yards long by, I'll say, roughly 50 wide, about the size of a football field, just pretty and blue, about 35 foot deep, big enough to go swimming in without any trouble. As far as fish, we didn't look for fish. We were pretty busy at the time. We had our hands full of mountain lion right then. There's a lot of minerals down in that country. They have a lot of oil. There's none down, as far as I know, they haven't found any down by where I'm at, but, you know, a little prayer there, ain't no telling what they'll do. They have a ghost town not too far away. I guess it's about 25 miles, roughly. It's called Terlinka, Texas. There's another town not about 17 miles west of there at Lajitas. It's partially a ghost town. It's not much. Now, this is getting right down around Presidio now. It's right down on the border, 25 miles. And Border Patrol down there is thicker than the fleas on the dogs back there, just about as bad as the deer. They have a Border Patrol crawling out from under every rock that's of any size, and they still don't have enough men to cover it. You were talking about getting on a Bell helicopter on your last tape, maybe, when you got off, got out of service. I understand that from talking to two Border Patrolmen at the cafe at Study Butte, which is about 15 miles south of my place, it's closer down to the park now, they're in real bad need for helicopter pilots. And I understand the pay is good. And the hours can get kind of long. They were chasing wetbacks. But I mentioned a cave just a little back further up the tape there. We found a cave that a wetback had been living in on my land. But he was gone, and there was a big buck holding up there now. In fact, the reason I say that he'd lived there, the top of the cave and the sides of the walls and all were all smoked up, you know, from fire, and there were some old pieces of firewood there. Excuse me, I had to stop there for a minute and light a cigarette. I'm not used to talking on these things, and it makes me a little nervous. We found the cave, and all right after we run the line out, or lioness, as it would be the correct word, her and her young cub, I guess that's would be the correct naming of him. He's just a small cat, you know. We didn't get close enough to him to see him. All I seen of him was his tail end as he was moving out through the greasewood. And I mean, he was moving, too. He wasn't letting any grass grow under his feet, if you know what I mean. And I think you do there. It's quite wild country. As I said before, the people still carry hog legs on their hip. And when I say hog leg, I'm not talking about 22 revolver. I'm talking about 38 special to 45 long coat. That runs a gamut. That's 41. That covers your 38 special, your 38 magnum, your 41 colt, 41 long colt, 41 magnum, 4440, colt 4440 that is, your 44 magnum, your straight 44, your 44 special, 44 45 colt, 45 army, and 45 long coat. Now, that'll give you an idea of what kind of artillery them people carry. Now, most of y'all, most of the boys over there, their rifles, pistols, are either 45 Colt, or I guess it would be long Colt or Army Colt. I'm not sure which. They're Army issue guns, and 30 caliber ammunition. Well, these people don't believe in this. They all carry heavy stuff. We saw a lady at the cafe at Study Butte there. They have a motel. She was out in her garden doing some work. She had a double-barrel 12-gauge leaning against the fence post there, you know. And I don't know what was in the gun, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't birdshot. It was probably anything from double-aught to 7-ounce deer slugs. The people don't play around. But they have very few robberies, as I said. In fact, the man at Study Butte owns a cafe. We were talking to him there, and he said that he'd had two robbery attempts in about the last 5 years, someone trying to rob him. Both times, it was two different men each time, and all four men are 6 foot in the ground. They never made it out the front door. There was some ranchers drove up each time to get some beer, as they serve beer here at this place. They stepped out of the truck and pulled their 6 guns off. And they had rifles on the racks. They in the back of the window, as we have here, men carrying rifles and shotguns in their trucks on gun racks in the back window. Well, this old boy, these two boys, first two, were college boys, and they tried to get out the door. They didn't see the ranchers. Well, the ranchers politely reached back in, and I don't have to tell you what happened. I imagine you can guess, but if you can't, those two boys were buried about 2 days later. I mean, they were killed on the spot, no questions asked. And that's the way the people are. About 2.5 years later, I guess the man said it was about 6 months ago, right at the start of the tourist season, these a couple of grown men, they were escaped convicts from Huntsville. How in the hell they got out there, I'll never know without getting caught, but they made it. They tried to rob him. The same thing happened, but this time it was a couple of men from over at the Mercury Mine just across the road. They seen them as they started out, and they stepped out the door with Winchesters, and the party was over in a hurry. Now, they kind of ended everything real quick. But, you know, it's kind of funny there. The people really are friendly, even though they are the way they are. We saw a cowhand down there. This is the first time I noticed it down there. About 10 miles south of Alpine, there on 118, he was riding fence line. I imagine you can remember that, doing that for the Ormsbys and for some few other people, too. He was riding one of the best-looking bay horses you ever saw in your life. In fact, I've never seen a better horse, I don't think. And I've seen a lot of horses around these rodeos, you know. But he was riding along the fence there. Had on some brush leggings. And he riding down through there with a 45 long Colt, Army 1860, incidentally, on his hip. And then a big heavy caliber rifle in the saddle boot. He was a Mexican cowhand, had on an old beat-up Stetson hat, and an old denim shirt, and a pair of Levi's. Reason I know all of this, we stopped and talked to him to get directions down to the White Mill Ranch down there to Mr. Harold Wynn. He was the rancher I was telling you about that had such a large place, boasted so many deer. He told us it was about 60 miles down the road, so we said okay, thanked him, and I made a mention about such a good-looking handgun he had. Because it had pearl handles on it, and it's not often you get out in country like that, you see a man carrying a six-shooter with pearl handles, especially if it's a bunt line special, and that's just what this was. He pulled it out, showed it to me, It was 45. It was in 45 long coat, but it was a bunt line special. And when I say bunt line special, you remember the old long barrel that Wyatt Earp was reputed to carry, that old Ned Buntline made for him. Well, that's what this was. This was a copy of it. I say a copy. It was an original 1860. Or I should say 1873. It was made on the same line as 1860, but the patent date on it, date of make, was 1873. It was an original. It didn't have the top strap over the cylinder like all these modern pistols have. It was open cylinder. It was a converted cap and ball, converted to cartridge shell. The rifle in his saddle boot was a 30-30 Winchester. And it was a rifle, it wasn't a saddle gun. I think it held about 15 rounds. But Mr. Wynn, and we finished talking to him, went on down and found Mr. Wynn. He had one of these old 44 Henrys. I believe you understand what the Henry was. They used it during the latter part of the Civil War. The Confederates called it the damn Yankee gun you could load on Sunday and shoot all week. It held 16 rounds. Quite a little arm right there. But he said that the gun was only for use in emergencies, and it didn't take me too long to figure it out. As I said, we got out of the truck, out of his Ford Bronco, four-wheel drive vehicle, something like a Jeep, only it's got a cab on it. And it looks more like a pickup than it does anything. He got out. Dad and I were together there. We got out of the truck. Mr. Wynn reached over in the glove compartment and pulled out a 38 Special snub-nosed revolver, 9-shot double action. And it was a brand new one. He said he'd only had the gun about 2 months. Something had happened to his old gun. He had a 45 Colt, but I think he retired it from the way he talked. He strapped the gun on, and got down to business in a hell of a hurry. He run into a rattlesnake, and incidentally, I say rattlesnakes. They don't have but four kinds. They have timber, diamondback, white diamondback, and sidewinders. And all of them are just, and one's just as bad as the next, half copperheads. But that was one of two snakes that I saw down there. The other one we saw on the highway, dead. Somebody done him in, you might say. He was dead. Let's say the people down there carry guns there. And they make no bones about it. They carry them on the streets. Of course, they don't carry them. They're not allowed by state law to carry them into any place that serves liquor or sells alcoholic beverages. But they do carry the guns on the street, right in downtown Alpine. There's nothing to see a man walking down the street with a gun strapped down. You see these Western movies, and men call it talking about a pistolera. Well, that's a man that carries a pistol and a good hand with it. Well, I seen about 350 pistoleras while I was down in that country. All of them carrying pistols, and none of them carrying 22s. They were all heavy guns. As I said, anything ranging from a 38 Special to a 45 long coat with any number of size barrels on them. It's quite interesting, but you get back up here. You back up in here next November, or next deer season, as far as that goes, next year. We'll make a date and go down and see if we can't get you one of them bucks. As I said, there are quite large animals. We didn't see one that weighed less than 200 pounds. I found my buck for this year. It'll be down our opening day. They told us, you know, while I was looking, I was trying to top out on a mesa in the canyon. It's, half of my place is a canyon. It's measured off 160 acres. It's supposed to be half mile square, but I believe if it was chained off in old land measure, it'd be about 460 acres, about 300 acres there extra if you took all the land surface in the canyon, and it's some hole. You can be 30 feet from it and not even see it. It's worse than Poladera Canyon ever thought about being. The walls aren't sheer except in a few places, but it's a long way to the bottom and a long way to the top, you might say. It's more or less big sky country out there in a sense. I have some pictures here that where the sky started is 20 miles away. You know, it's well on out there, a good ways. But as I said, that little Instamatic 44, we were standing on a level. They're trying to take them on a level. You can look at the pictures, and the pictures say it's level, but you can walk off out there 30 feet and drop about 150 feet straight down. It's just broken land. Well, if you've been in canyons before, you know what, I'm pretty sure you know what they are. It's good land. I mean, there's a lot of rock, a lot of cactus. But on the sides of the road where the land's been disturbed by the highway department, they've done some work there, and there's Johnson grass growing. Well, we're both farm boys enough to know that it takes something for Johnson grass. It takes awful good land to grow it. Well, you know, the land's bound to be pretty good to grow that. Now, that's out in the bar ditches. There's nothing back up in the pastures there as far as Johnson grass goes. There's grass, what there is of it. But the livestock are so fat they're about to bust out of their hides. And just an illustration here to give you an idea. You know what a Bremer cow looks like, and how rangy, thin they are, and how hard they are to fatten up. Well, they run a crossbred Bremer down in this country. A few Santa Gertrudis, but they're mostly Bremer, just mixed breeds, any and everything. But the old cows down there, Rich, are so fat they're about to bust their hides. They look like a killing-sized hog, or like some steer that was up at the stock show that they were going to sell for slaughter, you know. Quite intriguing. You really get to looking around, the grass is kind of scarce, but the cows are fat. People down there don't feed them but about once a month, and they throw out a bale of hay here and there just to make them come up so they don't have to drive 100 miles just to look at their cattle. And when I say 100 miles, I mean literal. Because, as I said, it's big country. It's not the big sky country of Wyoming or Montana, but it's a long way from where a man's standing to the skyline. And when I mean a long way, it could be 40 or 50 miles to where the sky starts, just looking right down a canyon. It's quite interesting. But I'm going to have to go. I have just a few minutes left on this tape on this side. I think some of the others won't say a few words. Give us a, write us a letter, you get a chance. Address, just write it to me. And address 901 North Granbury here in Cleburne. And the zip code is 76031. Your mother gave us your address just a few minutes ago. And so we have it, and I imagine we'll start writing some letters. And they said Jim was supposed to be in this coming weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing him. And you take it real easy now and be careful. Don't get yourself into any storm that you can't get out of. They always tell me it's best to have an out somewhere, get away. Now that helicopter, I know, it's about the safest thing over there, but at the same time, it's a sitting duck when it's hovering. I have a boy I work with, excuse me, that was in the Marine Corps over there. He was stationed up on the DMZ. He says that helicopter life isn't the easiest, and I was listening to that last tape last night, and I don't like to say this, but you know me. I don't know what you're doing, but if I was you, I'd lay off of the beanies if you're taking them, because you sure sounded like a man that was just coming off of the pills and hadn't had any sleep in about 48 hours. You get a chance, boy, you take a nap over there. There ain't no point in killing yourself just trying to fly them patched up choppers. I mean, I know you hadn't got it the best in the world, and I know the electricity and some of the other utilities and stuff over there is not the best, but I mean, you got to make do with what you got, but that don't mean you have to miss your rest. Because if you rested and sharp, they tell me the last chance are of you getting into something you can't get away from. Well, I'm going to go, and we'll be seeing you. You take it easy, and like I said, give us a holler, and we'll try to work out some kind of a deer deal down there next year. May let you hunt free. Just give you a chance to get a buck. And as I said, they're plentiful. I saw about 150 just right there around my place, and I didn't see any that weighed less than 200 pounds, somewhat more. There was a deer killed down there last year that field dressed, Richard, at 275 pounds. He was a 14-point buck. And he was the biggest mule deer killed in the United States last year. That was that field dressed, 275 pounds, so you can imagine how big he was. The deer down there look like cows till you get up on them, or an elephant or something. They're huge. They're nothing like we have here. And they do get around. They don't run. You can be looking right at a buck 15 yards from him. If he drops his head, you can't see him. It's that bad. The brush isn't that bad, it's just that the deer blend with it. We saw a big buck that, I guess he was about 50 yards out going up the side of a mountain late Saturday evening of last week. Or I should say week before last. It wasn't last week, it was week before last, 2 weeks ago today. It was late in the evening, about 6:30 or 7. And the sun was down behind the mountains. It wasn't quite dark, but it was getting that way. We run on to a group of about 25 deer, bucks and doe, and fawns. We was sitting there looking. There was a big buck. He looked like he was about 10 points and weighed about 250. And I'm not exaggerating weights. This is just using livestock horse sense, you might say. On average, on guessing weights, he walked up the side of a mountain, turned, and dropped his head. All you could see was a pencil outline of a deer's body. He raised his head, walked a couple of steps, turned again, and he vanished. And when I say vanished, I mean he disappeared, just right out, dead out. He was still there because he moved again, and you could see him again. But he just vanished. I mean, in the thin air, just like the ground swallowed him up. But although he was there, there was another buck. Was so damn smart, he stuck his head into a bush to hide the rack, and he looked like a doe. And I chunked a rock at him, and he pulled his head out to see what was going on. And you talk about getting the fever. I had the buck fever in a big hurry. He was 18 points, Rich. Weighed about 260. That's enough to give the man a shakes. And I mean giving to him in a bad way, especially when you got a deer rifle in the car and you can't shoot because it isn't deer season. Now that is bad. But I had the fever, Dad had the fever. We couldn't drive at night down there because of the deer. It grazed right up to the side of the road, get out in the middle of the road. Incidentally, I seen an 8-point whitetail buck down there, between Fort Stockton and Alpine, excuse me, he ran about 225. Now that sounds a little high for a white-tailed deer, but this deer was laying right in the middle of the road and we had to stop for him. I mean right down the middle of the center strap. We couldn't go around him, we couldn't go by him or nothing else. Dad honked the horn, he got up on his feet, and that's the biggest white-tail I've ever seen in my life. And it was at night. The lights on the car were on bright. When he got up on his feet, Dad dimmed them. But he was in the beam of the lights, and it was just as bright as daylight. There was a full moon. And like I said, he weighed about between 225 and 250. He was a pretty good-sized whitetail. But deer are plentiful. They have no trouble getting deer. I imagine the number 5,200, 5,200. I'll give you the idea. That's a lot of deer hunters in one county, but that's a lot of deer in one county, too. Now that's how many deer were killed in the 1968 season. They only have a 2-week season in 1969, so we're hoping. George Bonham and Albert Garner are going down with me. And I'm fixing to go to Fort Worth here in a few minutes to look at a trailer house. I'm thinking about buying me one and moving it down there. So I'll have something to stay in when I go down. But they're going with me. They saw the pictures, and they got the fever worse than I did because they got to finding deer in the pictures that there wasn't supposed to have been deer when I took the pictures. That just proves that you don't always see what's there. And it's misleading country. You can't really tell what it is till you get right on it. You can see for 20 miles and not see.